All right, y'all. John chapter 10 this morning. If you've been paying attention, and I think most of you do, we've been talking about Jesus quite a bit. Specifically, the statements that Jesus makes or had made when teaching people about himself. Not just making casual statements, but he's actually saying some things about himself, revealing exactly who he really was and is, right? And we need to, if we don't know that, we need to learn it. And if we do know it, we need to be reminded. And the whole point is that we would at least be reminded or learn some things as we approach our Easter celebration, celebrating the resurrection of our Savior, right? And that we don't just fly right on through Easter as another holiday on the calendar as if it doesn't mean much. That's the whole prayer concern there. Not that we do that, but just be sure. Let's just be certain about it, right? Let's always make it a goal that we would acknowledge our Savior and the work that he did on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and everything it means to us, that it would be the weekend of all weekends of the year, right? To celebrate our Savior as we do every Sunday morning and as those of us who are believers, we do every day of our lives, if you want to get down to it. All right, so we've talked about Jesus saying, I am living water. We've talked about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. We've talked about Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. Am I right? Am I? Okay. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, because sometimes I don't pay attention. I'm just saying. We're going to be in John chapter 10 because Jesus is getting ready to say, we're going to be in John chapter 10 today, and next weekend, Lord willing, we're going to be also in John chapter 10 because he says two different things here about himself. They're really the same thing, but they're two different things. Stay tuned. You'll figure. You'll get it in the end. I hope. I want to read first the first five verses of John chapter 10 before we get into any of the slides on the screen. John chapter 10, verse 1, starting in verse 1, says, "Truly, truly," these are the words of our Savior. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And then finally in verse 5, it says, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." All right, I read those five verses because it sets the scene of what Jesus is about to say about himself to some people. All right, Jesus is always teaching using examples or word pictures that come from the culture around, the people that are living around him, the people he's talking to. He talks in terms that they will understand. Sometimes using parables and sometimes just using examples. All right? So how many of y'all have sheep at your house? I didn't think anybody would. It's not out of the question. Maybe somebody does. I don't know. Somebody around the world. Somebody's got sheep, right? So they know what it is to farm or to raise sheep. We don't know that generally. So how do we learn from what Jesus is saying if we don't understand who he's talking to? And why he's using this kind of a story to say what he's about to say about himself. All right? He's saying these things to the people that would totally understand what a shepherd's life is like. It didn't even matter if they were all shepherds or not. There were many shepherds around, and they would all understand how they operated, whether they lived in town or out in the countryside. All right? So Jesus is starting to talk about something that would normally happen in a time of the shepherds in his day. Basically, the shepherd would be out with their sheep, wherever the sheep could find, they would find some green grass or healthy grass for the sheep to eat, taking care of the sheep. That's their job. That's what they do. That's who they are. Every now and then, they would come into town, right? And when they came into town, they would there would be a place where they could park their sheep, right? Just drop them off, and there's a keeper, a doorkeeper there, a person who charges that shepherd to keep an eye on his sheep while he goes takes care of his personal business in town. Right? He's just leaving them there for temporarily, and then eventually going to come back and get them and go back out on the countryside and do whatever sheep do and with their shepherds in the countryside, eating and sleeping and neighing or whatever. That horses neigh. They bay, right? So that's kind of the quick overview of the picture. Okay, I'm trying to get you to have the picture of what's happening. There is a person who is called a doorkeeper here we're going to read about. There is a shepherd, and then there are sheep here. And then there's Jesus. All right, that's the picture. Now, when the shepherd is in the wilderness and they don't come into town and it's night falls and they're going to sleep somewhere, the safest thing for them to do is create some kind of barrier around their sheep. All right, sometimes it'd be rock, sometimes it'd be tree limbs, whatever's around, they're going to build some kind of a makeshift situation, very similar to what you see on the screen. And nothing can get those sheep unless they come into the opening that you see, and you see who is in the opening. That would be the shepherd. He'll lay down in the doorway and sleep so that anything to come to get his sheep, he would have to notice first. That's the general idea. All right? Now, I don't know if this picture that you're seeing is an actual what it was like, but it gives you an idea. For the sake of what Jesus is trying to teach. All right? So here we are. We have sheep and we have shepherds to start with. All right? Because we're going to talk about sheep and shepherds. We're going to talk about thieves and robbers. We're going to talk about the door and the doorkeeper. All right? So verse 2, we're going to skip around back and forth. Verse 2 says, "But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." All right? So imagine, sheep are in the pen, there's a doorkeeper watching over some other shepherd's sheep, and he comes back to get his sheep, he's just going to come to the door. And the doorkeeper's going to let him in because he knows the shepherd, and he knows his sheep are in there. Everything is familiar. If you all come to my house, and you knock on the door, I'm probably going to let you in because I know you, right? Here's what I know about. I think it's true for every family. It may not be 100% true for every family, but most families, I call them a gatekeeper. Most families have a gatekeeper in the family, sometimes more than one. A lot of churches are families, and they also have gatekeepers. It's unintentional. But let's say preacher is coming to your family reunion barbecue that nobody knows this preacher, right? And I just show up. And everybody's like, "Who's this dude?" Right? We don't know him. But if gatekeeper person, Uncle so-and-so or Aunt whatever or Grandma whoever I know, whoever the preacher knows, says, "Oh, he's all right. We like him." Then everybody likes the preacher. But if gatekeeper says, "Yeah, we don't know that guy. Got to keep an eye on him." Then everybody's going to be suspicious. And that's just the way it is in family. Every family has that. It may not be real obvious, but it is in that way. And it's the same idea that Jesus is trying to describe. When a shepherd of his sheep, his own sheep, he will come into the door. Why is he saying this? Because in verse 3, look at this. "To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." That's what would normally happen when things are happening the way they're supposed to happen with the sheep. Okay, verse 4 says, "When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." This is how a shepherd interacts with his own sheep. There is a relationship there. But if you go back to verse 1, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber." If any of you come in a window of my house, I'm going to have a problem. I'm like, "What's going on? What are you doing?" Even if I know you. But if I don't know you and you come into my house in any way, even the front door, we're going to have an issue until we figure out who you are. And that's true at everybody's house, I think. And everybody handles that differently. We're not even going to go down that road. Make sense? But Jesus is pointing out there are people, there are shepherds, and then there's thieves and robbers. There's people who are supposed to be dealing with the sheep, and then there's other people who are only there to steal, destroy, and kill. That's what thieves and robbers do. We got coyotes in the back of our house now, not like in the backyard, but like almost in the backyard, because there's a forest right behind us. And there's like a pack of them. And the other night, Thursday night, I can't remember, they were like, I thought they were on my deck. That's how loud and crazy the noises were. So I busted out the door because my dog is back there, and she thinks she's bigger than them, and she ain't. Y'all know my dog. So I pull her in the house, and I'm standing out there, and I can't see him because I got the backyard light on, but it's dark out there, and I'm just yelling at him. I'm like, y'all get out. Like they can understand me. I'm just yelling at him, you know. But I was trying to make noise so that they would think, okay, we don't want to mess with whatever we just heard about, which is what I was thinking about them, even though I know what a coyote is. But see, here's the thing about coyotes. They are seeking to kill and destroy because they're hungry. They don't care who it belongs to. They don't even care what it is. If they can get it and kill it, they will. I think when I think of what Jesus is describing as a thief and a robber, I think of hyenas. You ever watch a documentary about hyenas? Them things are crazy. And all they are is trying to find something to eat, and they will kill anything to get it. And they'll steal somebody else's dinner. That's just a lazy animal, if you ask me. Go kill your own food. But they'll come and take somebody else's food. They are savages. And I think about that when Jesus is saying, okay, there's some sheep, which you guys surely know that when Jesus talks about sheep, he's talking about us. He's talking about God's people. And when he talks about a shepherd, he's talking about one who cares for God's people. So it's obvious. But when he's talking about thieves and robbers, if you guys say to yourself, I'm going to try to put myself in everybody's shoes so I can try to understand the truth here, and you put yourself in the shoes of a thief and a robber, I can think of a lot of things that I'm going to steal before I steal a sheep. Right? But that's not the point. The point is, people in the world who are up to no good, people who are not of God, people who are not of truth, people who are not about the sheep, are thieves and they're robbers, and they will kill, steal, and rob. Here's how you know who they are. They don't enter by the door. They climb in some other way. They come in a different way than the front door. They don't knock on a door and ask for permission. They try to sneak in. They try to climb over the walls. They try to come under the ground. They try to dig tunnels. They'll try to do whatever they can do to take and destroy what you have. So he who enters by the door is the one, isn't it? That's where he's going. He says the shepherd comes to the door. He has no reason to go any other way. The door. The only way to the sheep, appropriately, is the door. The only way to get your sheep out of the pen that they are in is to go into the pen where they went in when you dropped them off. So you go to the door, and you have no reason whatsoever to be nervous about that because you dropped them off, and the doorkeeper knows who you are. So you would have confidence in picking up your sheep as a shepherd. So we talked about thieves and robbers, and we've talked about sheep and shepherds. But let's get to the point, all right? Because in verse 6, it's not on the board, it says, this figure of speech, Jesus, after he told them this, this figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Now, we don't have sheep. We're not shepherds in the full sense of what it is. These people should have known. They should have understood this, at least what he was explaining. They should have understood it all. The problem is they're not looking for the truth. They're not looking to hear anything from Jesus other than whatever it is they want him to say about himself. Okay? So they don't have ears to hear, as Jesus would say. So here's where we get into verse 7 through 9. Let me just read through these, and then we'll talk about these, because here's the main point for the day. Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And if you weren't paying attention, you'd probably get surprised by that. Because we thought, well, I thought he was going to say, I'm the shepherd. But he says, I'm the door of the sheep. Verse 8 says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And then again he says in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. Two times he says, I am the door. In this verse, in these few verses. Two times he says, look, I told you that story. I told you what you already should know about the culture you're living in. You all know how sheep are. You all know how shepherds are. You all know how it works. You've seen it happen. So I'm telling you, in this whole scenario, I'm the door. And that was after verse 6 where they said they didn't understand him. Well, now they for sure don't understand him. What person in their right mind says, hey, I'm a door? You know, you would think you're going to tell somebody, here, let me explain to you what I do. There's these things and there's this situation and there's all kinds of opportunities to be something in that story, and you pick the door. And if I'm sitting in the crowd or if I'm one of the people listening to Jesus, I'm probably thinking to myself, who cares about the door? We're talking about the sheep and the shepherd and the doorkeeper. Who cares about the door? Well, if we're understanding, hopefully we can understand because we're on this side of the cross and we have the gospel, we have the full gospel available to us, and we know Jesus if you're saved, right? So you know what's going on here. But for the first time, or maybe, well, it can't be for the first time because he says, I'm going to say this to you again, right? He's like, I am the door of the sheep, not of the pen that they're in, of the sheep. And he says, I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He's talking about salvation right here. He may as well have said, I am salvation. Could have said it that way, right? But Jesus knows that these people that we're reading about and we people today, we have to have things explained to us in such a way that makes it easy to understand. We all agree with that? I mean, I know we're all intelligent and we're educated just like these people were, and that was their problem, wasn't it? They all were trying to compete on who was more educated than the other, and when Jesus puts it in simple terms, they can't figure it out. It's just like, it still goes over because they think too much of their own smarts. And Jesus is always making it plain. He's like, I'm the door of the sheep. The sheep came in this gate because I let them in this gate. And they only come out because I come and get them out. Right? And I hope that everybody here and everybody who's hearing this message, if you know you're saved, you just understand that you are one of the sheep. And the only way you're saved is because you went through this door. You used this door. Jesus, the door. He's the only way. He's the only way to get in. He's the only way to get out of your sin and get into the presence of God, into forgiveness, into grace. He's the only way. There's no other way. There's not many ways. There's not many doors. Okay? This is not, let's make a deal. I don't watch a lot of game shows, but sometimes I do. Because other people do. And there, years ago when I was a kid, there was a game show called Let's Make a Deal. And they would always do the three-door thing. I don't think they do the three-door thing as much anymore, if it's still even on. But they do the three-door. And the person playing the games, they would have to choose which door they wanted. Right? And sometimes it was a big prize. And sometimes it was like a wah, wah, wah kind of deal. Right? And you're like, ah. Oh, and everybody, the whole crowd's like, ah. Oh. And you know you lost. When everybody goes, ah, it means you lost. Does that make sense? Anybody who's ever played sports and struck out or did something that wasn't helpful for the team and the whole crowd goes, oh, then, okay, we got to do better, right? We know that we're not doing it right. This is not a game, Jesus is saying. There's not three doors to pick from. There is a door. There is one door. There is the door. And I'm it. You can't get to God except through me. You can't do it. There's only one way. And anything or anyone that comes from a different way is a thief and a robber. And they can paint themselves to look just like Jesus. But they're there to steal and destroy. There were people that came before Jesus saying that they were the Messiah that everybody has been waiting on. Obviously, they weren't. There are people still today saying that they are either Jesus himself or some kind of something that they're not, presenting some false gospel or even some false Christianity that's leading people away from the door. And they're stealing and robbing from people's lives. And we have to be careful. We have to watch. We have to take what is coming at us. We have to take those who are coming at us and compare it to the Word of God and see if it matches up. Is this the door? Is it the door? And if it's not the door, then we flee from it. We dismiss it. We get rid of it. And the problem we have is sometimes what's offered, what comes in over the wall or under the ground, looks really nice and it sounds really good. And we really want it. Surely God understands my situation. You know how many times we've heard that? I'm not even going to ask you how many times we've said it. Surely God knows my problem. Surely God knows why I would do this. Even though the Word of God says something different, surely God understands. Because He loves me, right? That's how thieves and robbers get you to follow them. That's how thieves and robbers get you to allow them in. To steal and destroy. You understand? Everything that's not of God is there to destroy. That's just a fact. And Jesus is saying, I'm the only one that's going to come over here and get my sheep. Because I'm the shepherd. I am the door. I'm the only way. There are plenty of other gods in the world, always have been. There are plenty of other religions that worship other men or women. And the reality is, this is not fresh news to y'all, I don't think. All of those other men and women who people worship are dead. And if they're not dead and they're still alive, they will be dead at some point. They will not live for eternity unless they come to Jesus and accept Him as Lord and Savior. Repent of their wicked ways. Does that make sense, y'all? And it's like, be careful, because we don't sit back and say, oh yeah, all those bad religions or wrong religions or false religions and all those other gods, those are wicked people and they're all going to hell. They need Jesus the same as me and you. They go through the same door that me and you have to go through. Because all have fallen short of the glory of God. And the only reason that this door is even open is because Jesus went to the cross so that sin could be paid for. The only reason the door is open is because God our Father brought Jesus out of that grave, proving that He is the Savior, proving that He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the one. He is the door. And there is only one way. Because the only other way is not possible, is it? Which would be keeping God's law perfectly. Make sense? Jesus came to complete that. He came to make sure that we could get in, right? Because we've all failed. We've already broken God's law. Deny it all you want to, but you know it's true. I don't understand why it took me so long in my life, aside from the fact that sin looked really good and there was a lot of fun in it. So I thought. You know, it's like you're driving down a road where the bridge is out, and it's a road that's supposed to have a bridge to cross the Grand Canyon, and the bridge is out, And there's sign after sign saying, bridges out, turn around. Bridges out, turn around. And there were even signs in the middle of the road that said, turn around. And I would drive right around them and keep right on going because I enjoyed driving down that road. It wasn't until one day I realized, okay, maybe the bridge is out. You know, maybe I saw the bridge. I was like, oh, man. Maybe the road just wasn't fun anymore. Maybe it got a little rocky at points. It wasn't a smooth ride anymore. Because that's what Satan does. That's what robbers and thieves do. The candy's sweet on the outside, but you leave it in your mouth long enough, it turns sour. That's what sin does. Satan is the robber. And he will tell you a lie that is sweet as the sweetest honey on the planet. And the moment you give in to it, he will be the first tattletale. He will go to God and say, look, see that person right there? They don't love you. They don't even believe in you. Look at them. All it took was just a little bit of honey and they just flee from you. That's what Satan does when he tempts. And almost every time, the temptation is, hey, there's some other God somewhere. Or there's some other way. There's some other thing. Every way leads to God. Isn't that the biggest lie that goes around? All ways lead to God. Really? Is that the case? Is that really the case? Because if that were true, how many of us would be here worshiping the Lord like this on Sunday morning? How many of us would read our Bible at all? We'd just be going off being pirates and do whatever we want to do because we're all going to heaven. No. That's what Jesus is saying, no, there's only one way. And it's me. I am the door. You can't get in the kingdom of God without going through me. And when he says, I am, he's equating himself with God. He is God. Just like he has in every other study we've done. I am living water. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. First chapter of Colossians. The whole book of Colossians is all about Jesus being I am. We're gonna finish up chapter 10 next week because he's gonna say next week, I just give you a preview. He says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. So you guys are like, wait a minute, I thought you said he wasn't the shepherd. No, he is. I am all things, he says. He's the door and the shepherd. And y'all better just like save up, pack up some extra amens next week. Because it's going to be amazing. Because we're going to talk about the one who loves us and how much he loves us. And all the things he did because he loves us. Even those who refuse to go through him, the door. He still loves them. See, every amazing thing Jesus ever did out of love for mankind, he did it for those who are saved and even those who aren't saved. You see? So God does love everybody and has loved everybody. And once again, I'm just going to make the point. The issue is not everybody loves God. You see? Not everybody sees the door and says, I got to go in that door. I need that door. I want that door. I can't live without going through that door. Because that's the reality, isn't it? Nobody can live without going through Jesus. And I don't mean on the planet. I mean eternal life, talking about living water, talking about bread of life, talking about light of the world kind of living. Right? I want to read verse 10 for you as I finish this up. Because I could talk about Jesus all day. Just saying. He says in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone, underline, circle, anyone, enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Two points I'm going to make. Verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, here it is, I came that that they may have life, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Not just barely living, y'all. He's talking about abundant life. Sometimes I sit back and ask the Lord, what does that really mean? And have I ever really even come close to experiencing what abundant life is? Sometimes you sit back and you're just like, man, all this and Jesus? All these blessings and the Lord? All this and salvation? And you just feel overwhelmingly blessed, like more, way more than you ever deserved. But then sometimes you sit back and you're just like talking to the Lord and you're letting the Spirit of God help you grow, and you start realizing, you know what? I don't know if I'm living like somebody died for me. I don't know if I'm living to the full potential of what Jesus offers me on the cross. You know? Not that I'm not forgiven, but it's like, you know, sometimes my attitude needs to be adjusted a bit. If I'm going to be honest about stuff. Right? Sometimes, you know, you catch yourself in a poor attitude or something going on, and you just sit back and you can just picture, here we are picturing stuff. We can picture Jesus looking at us going, is this what I died for? For you to be like this? And I don't think he's mad. He's just like trying to get my attention. He's like, hey, we don't care about that. You're saved. You get to be with the Lord for eternity. So the X amount of years the Lord gives you is a blink of an eye, y'all. And y'all know my son, I think about him a lot. And that's why I try not to complain about pain and things, physical pain and stuff. He lived 30 years. He was in pain every day of his life because of his disability. Some worse than others, but every day in his life there was pain in his body. It's not possible for me to have pain without thinking about that. Which automatically causes me to think about my Savior on the cross. And with the Lord's help, we start looking at our own sufferings, our own problems. I mean, we're just sheep. We can't make it on our own. I mean, sheep are kind of pitiful. They produce a pretty good product, a couple products, right? But they're pretty pitiful, actually. They're just so needy. They just need. And they're so vulnerable without the shepherd. Without a door into the safe place. Ain't that the way we are? Isn't that why we need a Savior? And isn't it great that God give us His Word, His Spirit, so that we can even know about the door? And when we go out and make disciples, y'all, when we go out and tell people over the next couple weeks, hey, you need to come to church with us on Easter. Because we're celebrating the door. We're celebrating the way in. We're celebrating our Lord. We're celebrating the one who died on the cross for us. The door's open, y'all. I remember my dad, every time we'd come, we were kids that played outside. Because video games were coming out right about. We played outside. So every time we'd come in and out, every time, it's like some reason we just weren't hearing it. We heard it, but we didn't hear it. Dad's like, who left the door open? Because the air conditioner's blowing or something. And it's like, who let the door open? Everybody that shut the door open, who let the... Jesus is saying, hey, the door's open, y'all. Get in here. The door's open for everybody that wants to come. It's a simple message. It really is. It's a simple message. Next week we're going to talk about his role in our lives as the good shepherd. Because there's shepherds and then there's the good shepherd. Right. There were truck drivers, and then there was me. I was a good truck driver. I'm not the only good truck driver, but there were some bad truck drivers. Y'all know that. There were some bad shepherds in the world. There were some shepherds that just didn't give two hoots about any sheep that they... Now, they show up, and their master's like, hey, where's the rest of my sheep? Oh, I don't know. They were here a minute ago. Because they didn't care about the sheep. Think about it. Read ahead. Study it. If you're not saved, which I'm looking around the room, I think everybody here might be. Y'all know people who aren't saved. Help them understand. Help them understand what's going on. At some point, we've got to get people to abandon what the world is saying is necessary so they can receive what is actually true about Jesus. Because it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to go into your workplace and into your homes and into your communities and say, hey, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, when the whole world is saying it's not true and you're whatever if you do believe it. Ask anybody who has children. Their children are struggling at school because they believe that Jesus is real. Because other kids are being taught to condemn them for that. You understand? But we have to stand firm in what the Bible says is true, what Jesus says is true, and He is the way.